ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 द साइंस ऑफ गॉड Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Verse Number 73. Tavad dasyam aham jagne, tatrapi brahmavadinam, shushrusaya anusangena, प्राप्तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यम् अहम् जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनाम् शुश्रूषया अनुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यम् अहम् जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनाम् शुश्रूषया अनुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यम् अहम् जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनाम् वासुदेवेन अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यमहं जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनां शरणानुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहं ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यमहं जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनां सुश्रूयानुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् तावद्दास्यम् अहम् जग्ने तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनाम् सुश्रूषयानुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहम् ब्रह्मपुत्रताम् Mataji's Tavat, since being cursed, Dasyam, in the womb of a maidservant, Aham, I, Jagne, took birth, Tatrapi, although being a Shudra, Brahmavadinam, unto persons well conversant with Vedic knowledge, Shushrusaya, by rendering service, Anusangena, simultaneously, Prapta, obtained, Aham, I, Brahmaputratam, a birth as a son of Lord Brahma in this life. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maid servant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as a son of Lord Brahma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Mam hi partha vyapashritya ye api siu papyo naya striyo vaishyasata shudraste api yanti param gatim. O son of Pitha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, as well as shudras, can approach the supreme destination. It doesn't matter whether a person is born as a shudra, a woman, or a vaishya. If he associates with devotees repeatedly or always, sadhu sangena, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narad Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtan movement is important, but regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Malech, Yavan or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. If one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narad Muni through this practical example from his own life. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Amma Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Verse Number 73. Translation. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maid servant, I engage in the service of Vaishnavas who are well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as a son of Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. So we are reading the story of Srila Narad Muni, described by himself. It's called autobiography. Narad Muni is speaking about his own previous birth, wherein he was Gandharv, Upabarhan, and by his offense he was cursed to become a Shudra. But then today He is the great Narad Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, liberated personality with a spiritual body, who can travel freely to any place, any part of the universe, even Vaikuntha, outside the universe. So how he attained this freedom, how he attained this spiritual body, and how he attained this transcendental personal position? So he is explaining that this was all possible because he got an opportunity to serve pure devotees, sadhu sangena. He got an opportunity to serve the great souls, the four bhakti Vedantas, and his life got completely transformed. So serving a pure devotee is the most essential principle Narad Muni is describing in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. That by serving such a soul, we can transform our heart, we can change our life from bad to good, from good to great, and we can become great servants of Krishna. A pure devotee is like a hero in our life. Just like if we happen to analyze cinema, Bollywood cinema, or even other cinema, one of the most popular stories or most popular theme in a cinema is there is a heroine, there is a villain, and the villain kidnaps the heroine, and the hero comes and rescues the heroine. This is the most popular, if not the full, the main theme of the cinema will include this. One plot will be this. There has to be a heroine, there has to be a villain who disturbs the heroine, and there has to be a hero who rescues the heroine. This is most popular since ages, since years this is going on, and still people watch this. You know why people get so much attracted to this story, that they hear this again and again, they watch this again and again? Because this originally happened in Ramayana. Ramayana is same. Ram is the hero, Sita Devi is heroine, Ravan is villain. Ravan kidnapped Sita Devi, and Lord Ram went, killed Ravan, rescued Mother Sita. So because this is original story, performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so repeatedly, even if others perform in a different way, people still get attracted. A cinema can be hit only if it contains truth. And what to speak about if it contains absolute truth? So because Ramayana is absolute truth, the pastime of the Lord, so this is always hit. This will always work. Even next 500 years, 10,000 years, if stories are made based on this theme, they will be hit. They will work. The form of the villain may change, the form of hero-heroine may change, their weapons may change, their countries may change, but the basic theme is the villain will kidnap the heroine and the hero will go and rescue her. So our life is also like that. We are heroine, not hero. It's a big mistake. We think I am hero when I am zero. It's a very big mistake. Sometimes when we preach, we think I am hero of somebody else's life. I am rescuing that person. And that's a very big illusion. Maya is one who has entangled us. Maya is not villain. She is pure devotee of Krishna. But just in this example, that Maya has entangled us. Maya has captured us. Maya has lured us. And we are helpless. And we need a hero. A hero who will come and rescue us. And that is a pure devotee. The association of pure devotee, the instructions of pure devotee, any contact with the pure devotee, who is a hero in our life and who rescues us from Maya. Maya has two ways to entangle us. One is called avaran, avaran atmika shakti, avaran, covering, avaran atmika shakti. And another is called prekshapat atmika shakti. Avaran atmika and prekshapatmika. These are two ways Maya captures us. Avaran atmika means Maya covers our real knowledge. The real position of the living entity is to be servant of Krishna. This is knowledge, that I am servant of Krishna. I am part and parcel of Krishna. Nityadas, Krishnera Nityadas. That is my swabhav. That is my swaroop. That is my natural situation. That is my constitutional position. That is my characteristic. That is my dharma. That is my Sanatana Dharma. All same things. That I am servant of Krishna. I am part and parcel of Krishna. I am Das. That's why when we get initiated, we get the name Das. To make us remember that I am Das. I am servant of Krishna. Should not forget Das. We only remember first name. So beautiful, Krishna's name, devotee's name, but there is Das with it. So I am servant of Krishna. But we forget this. We don't recall this. When we are born, we recall that I am son of so and so, I am daughter of so and so, I am brother of so and so. Then we grow up, I am Indian, I am American. Then I am husband, I am wife, then I am father, I am grandfather, I am grandmother, I am engineer. We forget that I am servant of Krishna. So this is covering shakti. Avaran. Avaran means cover. So Maya covers our knowledge that I am servant of Krishna. Now if somebody fortunately tries to come out of Maya, then Maya throws back in illusion. That's called prekshapatmika shakti. One is to cover and one is to pull back. Like one person puts you into jail and another person is there to make sure if you try to come out of jail, to put you back inside. So Maya does these two things. When a pig eats stool, the pig thinks enjoyment. The pig gets happy. But actually there is no happiness in stool. But why the pig becomes happy? Because the pig is covered. Pig is ignorant. The actual knowledge is covered that I am Sachit Anand. I am part and parcel of Krishna. So that is how Maya allures us. Maya puts us into trap. The illusory potency of Krishna. She does this thankless job. And we think everything is fine. Even we are under Maya, we feel everything is fine. Imagine the heroine is kidnapped by the villain and the heroine thinks, I am fine. There is no attempt to protect oneself. There is no attempt to defend oneself. There is the example of a rat. A rat was going in the field, empty field, full of sand, and it was summer time. There was afternoon sun, very hot. and the sand equally hot, and the rat was moving around, feeling so much burning sensation, having no relief. If he stands, there is pain. If he sits, there is more pain. If he sleeps, more pain. Runs around, still burning pain. There is no relief at all. Where will the lad go? Finally, the rat came and he got some shade. Nice shade, cooling, relief. What was that? The shadow of a cobra. There was a cobra and there was a shadow, and the rat running around came in the shadow. So nice, cool, thanda thanda. But what happened next minute? The cobra captured the rat. That is Maya. We run around because of our distress, because of our stress, or because of our mistress. We run around here and there. So much miserable, so much trouble, miseries from body, miseries from mind, miseries from neighbors, miseries from mosquitoes, miseries from other living entities, miseries from heavenly planets, natural. So we run around here and there for some relief. And what we think it's a relief, when our senses come in contact with sense object, getting an ice cream we feel relief, getting a sleep we feel relieved, getting a pizza we feel relief, getting some contact with sense object we feel relief. But what is happening? Maya is further capturing us. Every attempt of sense enjoyment entangles us further. We create a karma, and that gives karma phala, and that gives reservation to hellish planets. Every attempt to capture, every attempt to perform sense enjoyment is hellish planet, gives papa. So we feel it's relief, but actually it's further entanglement, increasing the duration of our life in that field. So Maya captures us through so many sense objects which are in front of us. So in our life, to get free from Maya, we need a hero. We are victims, and we need some help. We can't manage ourselves. It is big illusion thinking that I will manage by my wealth, by my bodily strength, by my intelligence, by my skill, by my talent, by my degree, by my relatives, by my friends, by the society, I will manage myself. I will rescue myself. It will never happen. Because attachment to wealth, degree, skill, talent, position, relatives, body, strength itself is illusory. We are itself in illusion, so we can't manage ourselves. It's not possible. So we need help. We need help from somebody who is outside this whole entanglement business. And that is a pure devotee, a liberated representative of Krishna, who can extend his hand and help us. He is a hero because he helps us by his instructions, which are his weapons. A sadhu's speech, sharp speech, is a weapon by which illusions are cut. Like a surgeon has sharp knife, and he uses the knife to cut and cure us from infection or cure us from disease. So sadhu uses sharp words to cure us from illusion. Like Vidura, he spoke very sharply to Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra got ready to leave his comfortable palace, go to the forest, perform tapasya, and eventually he got liberated. That was by the instructions of Vidura, Sadhu Sangha. So a pure devotee has so much potency. When we associate, when we serve, then Krishna is pleased. Originally our relationship is with Krishna. We are part and parcel servant of Krishna. So we need to serve Krishna. So when the desire in our heart arises that yes, I should serve Krishna, we will find that it's not happening. Krishna is not accessible to us. We can't perform direct service to Krishna. How will we perform service to Krishna? On the material plane, when Krishna Himself is on the transcendental plane. So there is a need and there is a desire in the heart of a conditioned soul which is unfulfilled. The need and the desire to serve Krishna remains unfulfilled. All the scriptures say we can't directly serve Krishna. So this is one part. Another part is the pure devotees of Krishna. We, Ashutosh, you made? Can you put? So another part is a pure devotee of Krishna. He always serves Krishna. But he doesn't want anything in return. But Krishna, he wants to serve his pure devotee. But the pure devotee does not take service. So we just put this, is clear? Geometrically. There's a triangle that K is Krishna, J is Jiva, P is pure devotee. So Jiva wants to serve Krishna, but it doesn't happen. That's dotted line, doesn't happen. Pure devotee always serves Krishna. So in return, Krishna wants to serve his pure devotee. But Krishna remains indebted. He told the gopis, be happy with your service. I am indebted to you. I can't fulfill. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, ye yatha mam prapadyante, as you surrender, I reciprocate. Clear principle of Bhagavad Gita. But gopis, he said, I can't reciprocate. Because your surrender is beyond my capacity to reciprocate. Krishna can give whole Vaikuntha planet to the gopis. But still, gopis' love for Krishna is higher than that. So Krishna says, I will remain indebted to you eternally. I can't reciprocate with you. Ye yatha mam prapadyante, fail there. Krishna couldn't reciprocate. Krishna wants to serve his pure devotees, but they don't take anything from Krishna. Narsingadev told Prahlad Maharaj, please ask some benediction. I wish to give you benediction. I am so happy with you. I am so pleased with you. What did Prahlad Maharaj ask? He said, nothing, my Lord. I don't want anything. This is not business. I serve you. You give me salary. I don't want anything. Narsingadev said, "Arey, something you ask. Otherwise, my brand value will go down that I came down and didn't give anything." Generally, when he comes down, he gives benediction. He said, "Something you ask?" He said, "No, I don't want anything." Again, Narsingadev said, "Please ask something." He said, "Okay, if you want to give me something, liberate Hiranyakashipu, my father." This is also not for him. Narsingadev is already liberated. Already liberated. 21 generations of your family already liberated. Ask something else. He said, give me service to Narad Muni. Give me eternal remembrance of your lotus feet. So he's asking the same thing, pure devotional service, nothing material. Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu came to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, past time very interesting. Prithu Maharaj was doing yajna. 100th yajna, Ashwamedha. 99 he did successfully, 100th he was doing. Devotional service, yajna he was doing. And Indra didn't like his devotional service. He didn't want him to do because he was envious. And Indra stole his horse again and again. And Lord Brahma came. There is one Prithu Maharaj who is doing devotional service, doing yajna for pleasure of Vishnu. And there's Indra, who is so envious, he doesn't allow him to do devotional service. And Lord Brahma came. What do you think should be the solution? Lord Brahma should chastise Indra. He said, shut up, he is doing devotional service. Right? We expect that management system. But what did Lord Brahma say to Prithu Maharaj? Please stop doing yajna. Indra is getting again and again envious. And Prithu Maharaj didn't do the 100th yajna. Now if you do 100th yajna, Vishnu is going to be pleased. He didn't do 100th yajna. Obeyed Brahma. That's why Vishnu got pleased. It's like you are chanting and one person is disturbing you and you complain to your manager and he says, okay, don't chant. And because you obey him, Krishna is pleased. Krishna is not pleased when we chant. Krishna is pleased when we obey. We obey our Guru Maharaj, minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that obedience pleases Krishna. Where our chanting will please Krishna? We all, I mean many of us know how is our chanting. We ourselves don't get pleased by that. So obedience is so important. So Lord Brahma told Prithu Maharaj, look, don't do yajna. Vishnu got pleased. He came down. It is said Lord Vishnu, he stayed in the arena of Prithu Maharaj for longer duration of time than he had originally planned. Which means when he started from Vaikuntha, he planned, for such and such minutes I will be here. But he changed his plan and he stayed for a longer duration of time. Why? He was so pleased with Prithu Maharaj. And not only that, he came and stood on ground. Lord Vishnu doesn't stand on ground. He stands in air, havame, few feet away, above. He stood on ground. And because he's not used to stand on ground, he used to walk in sky, not on ground. So he was losing his balance. Still he came down to meet Prithu Maharaj. So Lord Vishnu took Garuda's help, okay, be here, so that I am balanced. Like an old man may take a stick to balance himself. So he was so pleased with Prithu Maharaj. So he asked Prithu Maharaj, what benediction you want, you tell me, I will give you. Prithu Maharaj says, I know you are husband of Lakshmi. I know you can give me wealth. You can give me any post. You can give me villages. You can give me whole planet. You can give me universe. You can give me liberation. I know that. But I don't want all this. Lord Vishnu says, Arey, please ask something. I want to give you. He said, my dear Lord, if at all you want to give me, you give me millions of years. Now we have 2 years. He wants millions of years. Everywhere here. Here. Millions of years. And you give me association of your pure devotees, so that with these millions of years, I can hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I can hear your katha. If you want, you give me this. Chanting and hearing. So every time we see Krishna, Vishnu meets a pure devotee, very pleased with pure devotee. So Krishna wants to serve his pure devotee, fulfill some desire, something you ask, I want to give you, but they don't ask. So Krishna's desire to serve his pure devotee remains unfulfilled. So there are two unfulfillments. One is Jiva's desire to serve Krishna remains unfulfilled because Jiva is not qualified. Another is Krishna's desire to serve pure devotee, two dotted lines, remains unfulfilled because pure devotee doesn't accept service. Right? Now in this situation, if we, the Jiva, serve a pure devotee, which a pure devotee may accept, it may be even giving a glass of water or offering an asana, Krishna says, oh, mera kaam kar diya. What I want to do since years, but I am not able to do, I am not able to serve this sadhu, this fellow served. So Krishna becomes very pleased with us. If somebody does your work, which is pending since years, it's a boja, you know, pending work is a boja, burden. So if somebody does your work, which is pending since years, how pleased you will be with that person? Highly pleased. Mera kaam kar diya, did my job. So when we serve a pure devotee, Krishna is highly pleased. Why? Because Krishna's unfulfilled desire is fulfilled. His pure devotee is pleased. His pure devotee is served. So when we come in picture and serve a pure devotee, which may be a very small thing, Krishna is pleased with us, highly pleased with us. Yes, good boy, good girl. Because you did that which even I couldn't do. Since years I am thinking to do this, but I am not able to do this. But he did this. So Krishna is highly pleased, so he blesses us. So our desire to please Krishna, Krishna's desire to please and serve his devotee, these both get fulfilled when we serve a pure devotee. That's why we get very great benefit. Much greater benefit we would get by serving Krishna is when we get by serving his pure devotee. So it is very essential that we serve a pure devotee. We follow the instructions of a pure devotee. And by that, we please Krishna. Krishna himself has made this process that a jiva can come back to him when he approaches a bona fide spiritual master. He is sitting in front of Arjuna, instructing him and saying, Tad vinipray patena pariprasthena sevaya, go to a self-realized soul. Where you go on the battlefield to a self-realized soul? Arjuna is disciple of Krishna. Krishna is giving transcendental knowledge. But that is very exceptional case where Krishna becomes spiritual master. He became spiritual master of Brahmaji. That is because of no choice. There was nobody else to become spiritual master there. And then he became spiritual master of Arjuna because he had to revive the parampara. But otherwise, Tad vidhi panipatena pari prasnena sevaya, Krishna has instructed, go to a self-realized soul and pariprasena sevaya, offer service, offering menial service and present submissive inquiries. So when you go to a bona fide spiritual master, offer service, ask questions, ask inquiries here, then we advance in spiritual life. But then we should know who is a bona fide spiritual master. Who is a sadhu, who is a pure devotee of Krishna. And if you read whole Bhagavad Gita, no verse it says that saffron means sadhu. We don't judge by dress and by address. Somebody's dress might be saffron, Baba. Somebody's address might be Vrindavan or some matha or even Iskon Mandir. But we don't judge by dress and by address. A sadhu is known by his qualities, by his performance, activities in devotional service. A bona fide spiritual master, the first characteristic of a bona fide spiritual master is that he has a bona fide spiritual master. That is the first characteristic. Just like if you want to study some subject from a teacher, what is the first qualification of the teacher? That he should have learned that subject from somewhere. If a doctor comes and says, I will teach you surgery. Say, from where did you learn? From the womb of my mother. Born genius. You will say, no. I'll go to university. Right? The first qualification of a teacher should be, he should have a teacher. So the first qualification of bona fide spiritual master is, he should have a bona fide spiritual master. But how do you know his guru is a bona fide spiritual master? Same. He should have a bona fide spiritual master. How do you know that fellow is a bona fide spiritual master? He should have a bona fide spiritual master. How do you know that person has a bona fide spiritual master? He should have a bona fide spiritual master. There should be a chain going to Krishna. That's called Guru Parampara system, Guru Shishya Parampara system. Disciplic succession. A bona fide spiritual master should be connected to a disciplic succession. That's first qualification. Second qualification of a guru or a teacher is what? You not only should have a teacher, but you should have learned from him. Just you have a admission of a university but no report card. No, what did you do in the university? Right? Somebody who teaches you surgery, not only he should be having an admission of a medical university, but he should have passed out from there. If he is not passed out, he never attended the school, but he has an admission certificate, that will not work. So not only he should have a bona fide spiritual master, but he should have learned from him. That is second qualification of a bona fide spiritual master. That he should have learned from his spiritual master by the same process. Prayi prashnena sevaya. Okay? Then the third qualification of bona fide spiritual master is that not only he should have learnt it, but he should have applied it. Not only I have taken admission in medical university, not only I have attended classes of surgery, but I have actually done surgery, applied it, then I can teach somebody. If I say, look, I have attended all the classes of surgery, but I have not entered operation theater, but I will teach you surgery. Will you learn from such a person? I have done PhD in swimming, but I have not entered water, but I can teach you swimming. Or what is the use of your PhD? So not only he should have a bona fide spiritual master, not only he should have learned from a bona fide spiritual master, but third is he should have applied. He should have applied the teachings. Fourth qualification is he should teach us by logic and argument, not by blind faith. A guru cannot tell the disciple, look, this is this, finish. Just accept it because I am guru. He doesn't use his position, he uses his realization to explain logically, convincingly, so that the disciple intellectually accepts it and follows the process. No blind following. Krishna could have told Arjuna, I am God, okay, you fight. Bhagavad Gita over. One verse, half verse. Why waste 45 minutes? I am God, you fight, finish. But Krishna didn't do that. He logically explained him. And at the end Krishna said, is your illusion dispelled? Are you clear of your duty? If not, tell me, I'll explain the whole Gita again. Krishna was ready to repeat the whole Gita again in an emergency situation of a war. Just for one Arjuna, if he had not understood it. That is a bona fide spiritual master. Who explains it thoroughly. Convinces, appeals to the intelligence of the disciple, logically, proper arguments. That is only possible when somebody has realization. When somebody has theoretical knowledge, it's not possible to explain. When somebody has realized knowledge, he can explain. So Krishna was ready to tell Arjuna this. Imagine somebody at the end of the class says, Prabhuji, please repeat the class. Very difficult. Please repeat the class. Krishna was ready to repeat the whole Bhagavad Gita. So highly patient sadhu. A sadhu should be highly patient to explain to his audience, to his students. All students are not same. Somebody may grasp immediately. Somebody may not grasp. Somebody you may not even know whether he has grasped or not. But one has to be there. One has to be patient. So that is fourth qualification of bona fide spiritual master, that he should not expect blind faith. He should not demand blind faith. Should explain it thoroughly. The next is he should have perfect character. His character should be beyond doubt. Perfect behavior of a devotee. That means what he preaches, what he does. Doing his sadhana, mangalarti, chanting, reading, four regulative principles, seva. What he tells his disciple, he should be doing it. Offering obeisances to Krishna, following all the bhakti yoga principles, perfect character, perfect behavior. His senses should be in control. Vegam, vacho vegam, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, all senses should be in control. And he should be intelligent enough to engage the disciple as per the propensity of the disciple. A conditioned soul has various propensities, is bewildered under various modes, and not same instruction of service can be given to all the conditioned souls equally.
There is variety. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So you should be engaging the disciple as per the propensity of the disciple. So these are the qualifications of such a personality who is representative of Krishna, who is our hero, who helps us to get over illusion, who helps us to get over entanglement. With this association, we can go back home, back to Godhead. And Aurobindo says, even Shudras, even Vaishyas, even women, it doesn't matter who is the candidate. Any sincere candidate in contact with the pure devotee, Pariprasnena Sevaya, can go back home, back to Godhead. A pure devotee is one who has no other desire, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, only desire to serve Krishna. Same Narad Muni came in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime as Srivas Pandit. And there is one very classic example how he had no material desire. Every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityanand Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukundad, they all would assemble Sridhar in the courtyard in the house of Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit, Ramai Pandit and his other brothers. And they would all whole night chant and dance, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Ram. Whole night they would chant and dance. So one day as they started their kirtan, Srivas Pandit heard some sound from inner room. His ladies were inside room. So he went inside, he saw his son has died. Srivas' young son, young boy has died. And all his wife, mother and other ladies are crying. Immediately Srivas told the ladies, stop crying. Don't cry. Your crying will disturb the kirtan. What is big deal if the son dies? Anyway, he died when kirtan is going on, holy name is going on. Anybody who hears the holy name at the time of death gets liberated. And here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna himself, the son of Nandamara, dancing and chanting the holy name. He got a very fortunate position. Let the whatever happen, you ladies don't cry. If I hear one more sound from you, I will go and commit suicide in Ganges. Imagine telling a mother, don't cry over the death of the son. Human Rights Commission will get on the case. But he threatened them, I will commit suicide if I hear one more sound. And he came outside and continued dancing in kirtan for whole night. Not affected by the death of his small son. That is Srivas Pandit. In fact, in between kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped kirtan. Generally, he doesn't stop kirtan, no break, continuous. He says, Srivas, I am not feeling usual ecstasy. Something inauspicious has occurred in this house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could sense it. Srivas Pandit folded his hands, my dear Mahaprabhu, wherever you are and wherever kirtan is there, there cannot be any inauspiciousness. Just continue. And again they started kirtan. Again after a few hours, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped. He says, Srivas, I am not feeling usual ecstasy. Something inauspicious has happened. Then devotees came and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas' son died. Srivas, when did this happen? He said, 8 hours before. 8 hours? You telling me now? He said, Mahaprabhu, I didn't want to disturb your kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Srivas. He went inside. He saw the dead body. And he started speaking to the dead body. He said, my dear boy, why are you leaving Srivas' house? And the dead body became alive. The son became alive in front of everybody. And he told, my dear Mahaprabhu, I am leaving this house by your desire. Since so many births, I have so many parents, so many houses. According to my karma, I go under cycle of birth and death. I take birth, I die. But this time when I died, I got liberated. I went back home, back to Godhead. So everybody was very happy to hear this. Because I heard the holy name of Krishna. And then again he left the body. Then by the permission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all did the cremate, final funeral ceremony. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took the boy and went in the Ganges and did Jal Samadhi, gave it to Mother Ganga. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Srivas Pandit. That is Srivas Pandit. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srivas and said, "Srivas, I have one private question to you." He said, "Yes, what is that?" "Sir, I see whole day you are doing kirtan. Whole day you are associating with us. You have such a big family. What is your source of income? You don't go to job. You don't have a business. You don't have share market shares. You don't have property. You don't beg. I don't see you doing anything for your income." Srivas Pandit said, "My dear Lord, I don't work. Whatever Krishna gives, I am happy with it." Chaitanya said, "But you have a big family. You are not a sannyasi. Whatever Krishna gives, I am happy. You have wife, you have children, you have brothers, you have servants, you have so many other relatives who are maintained by you. So how can you not work? You should do something. Nowadays, without working, nobody gets anything free. So what you tell me." Srivas Pandit said, "Should I tell you my secret?" He said, "Yes." Srivas said, "One, two, three. This is my secret." He clapped three times. 1, 2, 3. Chaitanya said, 1, 2, 3. "What is the meaning of this?" You know, nowadays when young boys go for interview, the companies they go, the companies also do the same thing. 1, 2, 3. They hire one, they give salary of 2, and they get the work of 3. That's 1, 2, 3. This is modern corporate exploitation. Any person you ask is very distressed in working. But when they change the job from one company to another company, immediately from 50,000 they get 1 lakh, and they are surprised. "My old company is so bad. They gave me 50. This person is giving 1 lakh. But they don't know, they have removed 3 people and hired him. And they get squeeze him like anything. If you work for a company giving you thousands, you should be sure they are earning lakhs from you, from your hours. Otherwise they will hire you. They get very big profit." But Srivas also 1, 2, 3. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him. Srivas said, "My dear Mahaprabhu, one day I will see if the food doesn't come. Second day I will see if the food doesn't come. Third day if the food doesn't come, I will jump in the Ganges. But up till now it has not happened." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got angry. He stood up. Said, "You will jump in Ganges without food? Even if Lakshmi Devi goes bankrupt, even if there is recession in Vaikuntha, I will make sure you have enough food. Even if Lakshmi Devi begs in the houses of Navdeep, I will make sure there is enough food in the house of Srivas. Srivas, not only you, not only your wife and children, not only your brothers, not only your servants, the lizard, cockroach, ants, insects in your house are dear to me. Because they are in your house." This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings to Srivas. Even the insects in this house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered. You know, Srivas has a darji, tailor, Muslim tailor. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srivas' house. This darji was standing outside the house with the bag of clothes. He came to deliver. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" He said, "I am tailor, Srivas tailor. I came to give him clothes." After some time, that tailor was found all over Mayapur running around like a madman and shouting, "I saw, I saw, I saw." People stopped him. Said, "Hey, what you saw?" He said, "No, I saw, I saw." So what had happened is, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know he is Srivas tailor, he showed him Shyamsundar form. Nice playing flute. And whole Mayapuri became mad. "I saw, I saw, I saw." That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for his pure devotee, Srivas Pandit. So serving such devotees can fulfill our desires to advance in spiritual life. And this is the best way. Actually, I'll tell you, this is not the best way. This is the only way. There's no other option. So we follow the instructions. We follow instructions of Srila Prabhupada. We follow instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. And when we follow, Krishna is pleased. When Krishna is pleased, we advance in bhakti. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadu. There is no other way. So we should practice spiritual life under guidance. Under guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Follow all the instructions. Srila Prabhupada's founder Acharya. Whatever instructions we follow in ISKCON come from him. Even there are many spiritual masters and devotees who are preaching, pure devotees in ISKCON, but everybody follows Srila Prabhupada. So we follow those instructions and we advance in spiritual life. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions or comments, we will take. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
One lecture I heard that Prabhupada say, when your service attitude finish, you will be finished. And you will feel temple as a burden. But we feel service as a burden and we run away from service. So how we can come out of this illusion?
So we should perform service as a duty. Even if we feel service is a burden because we are diseased, we are conditioned. Like when we take medicine, we don't have taste. But we take the medicine because prescribed by the doctor. So service is prescribed to us by the spiritual master. So even if we don't have taste, but we should know, this will cure us. The burden of seva will be cured by seva. Right? Not cured by not doing seva and hearing, thinking that one day I will be qualified to see it as not burden but joy. No, we just do it. Sometimes the mother picks up the child very joyfully. Sometimes she has back pain, she is tired, but still she has to pick up the crying child. But there is love. She does it out of duty, out of love. So we do out of duty. That my duty in life as a brahmachari is to serve Krishna. So some seva we have to do. So we do that seva. Even if we don't have the best attitude, we keep doing it, we get purified. So out of duty we should do because it's prescribed. Like a child goes to school, every day doesn't like to go to school. But it's prescribed. So he goes to school every day. When he grows up, he remembers, yeah, it was good I went to school. Now I can perform better in my career. Right? So we should do it. Other after few years, if we don't do service, after few years you say, oh, I got a very nice opportunity to serve Krishna, but I missed it. So let us not regret in future. Let us do seva now. The question is not what we like and dislike. The question is what is prescribed, what is my duty. I do my duty. Okay? All these births, many, many births, lakhs of births, we are doing what is like and dislike only. At least this life we do what Krishna wants. Okay, any more questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, I am facing a little bit disputes regarding Punjab government. I came all the way from the Amritsar. So, I am a regular follower of Prabhuji and Prabhuanji since from last many years. But due to some certain difficulties I am facing from the government side or police department, unnecessary, without any reason. I am not able to serve here also. So I want full support from this temple because I am a first class citizen of this country. and even I don't have any dispute. I worked as a bank manager in Chandigarh. I came here, so I want to serve as such as possible our institution. Kindly help me out in this case.
I'm sorry, everything was not clear to me.
Yeah, but actually I have a...
I'll just give you away an opportunity. So, this is a place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna resides.
Right, sir.
He solves everybody's problem. Even Brahma Indra come here to solve their problems.
Yeah.
You have come to the right place.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's a little private, personal also.
Yeah.
So after the class, we will discuss.
Sure. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any more questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srivas Prabhu was the intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was special. And but in general, no one can imitate the Srivas Prabhu of giving up the duties and obligations and service.
Yeah, so we learn, we get inspired, and we practice. We don't imitate. We practice the lecture or reading what we do. We practice it at our stage of faith. So based on our stage of faith and advancement, we take inspiration and we practice. Thank you so much. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Srivas Pandit ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.